from all of us here at Celtic Woman.
This is Daniel Powder.
This is Paul McCartney. I'd like to wish everyone a very happy Christmas.
This is Amy Mann.
And I'm Michael Houseman, and we're from Till Tuesday.
This is Jane Monheit. You're listening to The Sounds of Christmas
podcast. Hi, I'm Ken Kessler, and welcome to The Sounds of Christmas podcast. If you're new to this podcast, I want to start by saying thanks for joining us. If you're not new, welcome back. Either way, I'm glad you're here. Now, to avoid any confusion, I want to start off by saying there won't be any music played here. This is the place for conversation. I'll talk about Christmas music and some related topics, sometimes by myself and sometimes with guests. If you're looking for music, just go to soundsofchristmas.com and click on the tree or the player on the front page or on the Listen Now page. We play the best variety of Christmas music all year long. Well, except in October, when we play the best variety of Halloween music. I am very excited to have Muireann O'Mahony from Celtic Woman with us on this episode of the Sounds of Christmas podcast. Hi there.
Hello, Ken. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Did I get your name close to right?
I actually can't believe it. First time. It was brilliant.
I cheated. I watched so many YouTube videos just to make sure that I... And I want to also start off with my sincerest apologies for anything else I mispronounce as we talk about this. But I got your name right, so...
You're off to a strong start, so no worries.
For those who aren't familiar with Muireann, she holds a first-class honors BA in music from the Cork School of Music, specialized in classical vocal performance, studied classical flute, later earned a master's in musical theater from the Royal Academy of Music in London, graduating with distinction. Did I get all of that right?
You did. You've done your homework.
I didn't want to, this is your life, but I wanted to, you know, let everybody know that you've got credentials. You didn't just win a talent contest or something.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
You performed as a soloist at Dublin's National Concert Hall in productions, including the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber. What did you get to sing for that?
That was a number of years ago now. So I was actually, my voice was significantly higher. So it was a lot of, you know, Christine from Phantom of the Opera, that kind of repertoire. I was kind of cast as the token soprano, which I don't know if I'd be able to sing the same kind of stuff today, but it was a fantastic opportunity.
And you have performed in orchestral and symphonic settings all over America. You have been in theater productions of Disney's Broadway hits with the BBC Concert Orchestra at Royal Albert Hall and The Wizard of Oz and Singing in the Rain at Cork Opera House. You've done a little bit of everything.
And then, a little bit of everything.
And then Celtic Woman.
Yes. Wow. Yeah, it's been a journey.
Now, did I read this right, that you were actually a musician before you were a singer?
That is correct, yeah. So I was originally, way back when, I started off playing the violin, then moved to the flute, then took up the piano, and then percussion, and then landed on singing much later down the line. But that seems to be the one that kind of, that made its mark the most, I think.
Do you get the opportunity to flex any of your musician muscles with Celtic Woman, or is it all about the singing?
For me, with Celtic Woman, it is all about the singing. It's fantastic because we do get to have, like, you know, creative input on the songs and everything like that. But I suppose in my time outside of Celtic Woman, I am still flexing that muscle. I teach a lot of singing, and I would play accompany students and things like that. So it's still definitely very much a part of my day-to-day life, for sure.
And I was going to say you're the new kid, but you're not anymore. You've been there for like 4.5 years, but now you're one of the upperclassmen.
Yeah, this is it. I think I'm one of the veterans now. Yeah, for sure. It's funny. Exactly. It's almost like I still feel like I am the newest person in, but I'm so not. But it's fantastic, and it's been such an honor to kind of, you know, share the journey, I think, with so many different people in the time that I've have been in the group, and Yeah, we have an exciting tour ahead with some brand new members.
When you joined roughly 4.5 years ago, you guys immediately went in the studio for Postcards from Ireland, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we were actually, it was just in kind of Ireland. I was living in the UK at the time, but we were just after coming out of a lockdown from the dreaded C word. And I more or less had kind of made the decision to step away from music because it wasn't viable for me anymore financially and for other reasons. And Celtic Woman came along at a time when I think least expected it. And then within 3 weeks of having gotten the offer, I was in studio questioning how I got here. Yeah. But it was amazing. It was a whirlwind, and I feel like my feet haven't touched the ground since.
So Postcards from Ireland came out, and there was a tour, and then Christmas Cards from Ireland. I guess that was your first real Christmas recordings with Celtic Woman, right?
It was indeed, yeah. And I think the Postcards from Ireland special was such a success in that it was something completely different that Celtic Woman had done, I suppose, comparatively to the usual PBS live special that Celtic Woman are known for. It was decided that a kind of a Christmas edition of that would be the next project. And it was a fantastic, I think some of that footage is some of my favorites that we have. I think it's just very magical and very theatrical in a way as well. It's cool. I love it.
And from there, it was the 20th anniversary. I guess that was just a huge tour. That must've been something and a lot of music to learn.
It was. I mean, the special that we did was, again, another whirlwind, getting to share the stage with, you know, some of the original members of Celtic Woman that I genuinely remember watching on TV as a child, and to kind of be stood side by side with them doing the PBS special was absolutely crazy. And yeah, the tour that followed was it was incredible, and it was fantastic to get to revisit some, you know, fan favorites of Celtic Woman's over the years, and then also to have these incredible new arrangements by our musical director Brian Byrne as well. It was just a lovely kind of amalgamation, I think, of Celtic Woman old and new. And yeah, we had an absolute ball.
I don't think that we have anything really in the United States that compares with Celtic Woman, but that must have been an amazing experience to have been a kid watching and listening to Celtic Woman, and the way time flies by, you turn around and now you're part of it.
Honestly, I'm like, the simulation needs to work harder. I remember a teacher of mine when I was probably 13 or 14, and I was in secondary school, and I had just come into the school, had come from my primary into secondary. And I remember she handed me a book of songs of Celtic Woman, and I ended up singing The Voice for an exam about 2 years after that, and just became very, I don't know, I don't want to say like aligned, but it felt like there was like a path that was kind of forged out for me that I didn't even know it was there until I was on it, if that makes sense. But it's kind of like things all kind of fell into place, and I was like, oh, this makes complete sense. So it's quite cool how it came about.
What was it like going on the road with this huge anniversary production that was, you know, just a couple of years before you weren't involved in this at all, and now you're on this giant tour with, you know, featuring the history of this group? That must have been amazing.
It was. And it was, I think initially when I found out that I was going to be a part of the group, I would be lying if I said that I wasn't very scared. And I think I really felt the gravitas of what it was. But I have to say, the minute I met the girls, I feel like you just instantly become this like family. And I know that seems very like cliche to say, but it really and truly is. And it removed the scariness from it pretty quickly, because there's such a support network there, and it's, yeah, it's a very unique experience, and I'm so grateful to have had the opportunity to tour with Celtic Woman and as I say to perform with the incredible people along the way as well. But definitely, I think overwhelmed is a word I've used in multiple scenarios along my journey with Celtic Woman. But honestly, I feel like now it feels extremely like part of me, if that makes sense. And I love being on the road. I love touring so much. And yeah, getting to kind of connect with the Celtic Woman fan base is something that, yeah, I could have never dreamed how you know, validating it would be.
And the new album just out, Nullig, is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, wow. You're killing it.
That's two. I should stop at that point. What does that word mean? I'm assuming that's an Irish word for Christmas.
It is indeed. Yeah, Nullig is the Irish word for Christmas. And it's a beautiful, this album in particular is a real kind of revisit back to our Irish traditional roots. And we have a lot of Irish language music in there and traditional instrumentation, obviously all under the umbrella of Christmas and a celebration of the festive season. So it's really is something special, I think. And we had a ball recording it. So I'm so excited for everyone to hear it.
It is. It's such a beautiful album. And this is not background music. If you're not familiar with Celtic Woman, this demands that you pay attention. But it is so beautiful. From the first track, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, which I think was a single that was released a little bit early. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. Well, so God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen was released, what was that, the beginning, mid-October time. And yeah, it's one of those things, it's kind of like a lead up to kind of the big release, but I think it's one of the more dramatic ones. So I hope it gives people a little bit of a taster as to what's to come.
It's an amazing mix of songs. Now there are several, I'm assuming there are several Irish songs that I was not familiar with, but there are lots of standard classics and carols and even a Joni Mitchell's River is on.
Yes.
This.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I must say, as I said before, we're absolutely blessed to have Brian Byrne working with us on this music. And he has just breathed completely new life into these, some, as you say, some absolute classics, a Joni Mitchell song, which you think could never, you know, you could never reinvent the wheel, and somehow he has managed to do it. And even things like God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, something that, you know, we would be familiar with as a very classic Christmas song. And he just has absolutely turned it on its head. It's really exciting.
Do you have any favorites from the new album?
I think one of my favorites is a brand new composition from Brian and his wife, Casey. It really is. It's magical. It is the only way I can describe it. It's called Nullig na Mban, which translates to Women's Christmas. And it's a traditional Irish celebration in Ireland. It actually, Nullig na Mban is actually supposedly, well, it's in January, and it was to mark the day where the women of the house would get to rest after having fed and watered everyone all over Christmas, and you know, the man of the house would have to kind of pick up the slack on that day. But it actually tells a story. It's a beautiful story of love and loss and transformation and everything like that. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the duet that Brian wrote for the 20th anniversary. It's called Shannon, and he described this Nullig na Mban as like the cousin song to Shannon, which is which I can see the through line for sure. But it's I really hope that people love it as much as we do, because it's quite magical.
It is, you know, I hate to keep using the same word, but it is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
But really, the whole album is, and I'm not just you know, and I'm not just saying that, because I get, for the Sounds of Christmas station, I get hundreds of songs sent to me every year.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot to listen to. But but this is just so beautiful from the opening track all the way through Auld Lang Syne. At the end, it's really terrific. Is the tour you're getting ready to go on, is it just these songs, or is there more?
There is. So the tour that we're getting ready to go on will primarily consist of these songs. There are some, obviously, some probably a few missing out of that track list there that I think Celtic Woman might be booed off the stage if we didn't perform, you know, the favorites like Danny Boy, things like that. So there are definitely a few that are missing there. But we're really excited to promote this album this Christmas and you know, to get it up on its feet with a live orchestra. It really is unlike anything else. You know, it's an amazing opportunity to get to record these in the studio, but nothing beats a live orchestra and a live setting to absolutely raise the roof.
Yeah. And put you in that Christmas spirit.
Totally, totally. And it really does get everyone in the mood. So it's great.
I saw the tour dates, and pretty much the month of December from the beginning up till just before Christmas, you guys are going from city to city all over the country, all over this country, which I'm grateful for, but I'm sure there are a lot of other countries that would like to have a Celtic Woman Christmas this year. Any chance that this is going to be filmed? I don't know if you can say.
The Symphony Tour?
Yeah,
it's funny. We are with kind of live. Well, we are with live orchestras throughout the U.S. And oftentimes, you know, there are stipulations about recordings for, you know, because with that respect to live musicians and things like that, it can be a tricky territory to navigate when things are going up online and everything like that. So it is unlikely, I'm afraid. But hopefully that will entice people even more to come out and see us live.
Oh, sure. What's your favorite to be able to perform live for a Christmas show?
My favorite to be able to perform live. You know, I love in previous years we've done songs like Let It Snow into kind of Santa Claus and everything like that. And those ones are quite fun and they really kind of get the crowd going and everything like that. But I feel like it sounds quite cliche of me, but there's something about performing Danny Boy with a live orchestra in particular, because, well, first of all, that just wall of sound that you get coming behind you is just, it's very very emotive. And then of course you really genuinely see how that song kind of impacts people, which we as Irish people are not all that used to in Ireland. Our Danny Boy does not have the same impact, I feel, in Ireland as it does across the pond. And I can understand why that is. And you know, people, these songs are vehicles for people to kind of connect back to their heritage and to family that you know, might be long lost at this point. But so it really is very moving and in some ways quite surprising to see how much a song like Danny Boy or, you know, Amazing Grace and things like that really kind of hit people, and it hits home. And I think Christmas can be a particularly tough time, as much as it is a beautiful time of year for people. So, you know, to be able to help people kind of connect and you know, feel in a room where everyone is experiencing live music is something very powerful.
Being one of the veterans now for Celtic Woman, did you get to have any input on this album or on the songs you do on tour this year?
This album was really, I must say, a brainchild of Brian Byrne and the creative team of Celtic Woman. We had a fantastic time in studio, you know, collaborating with each other. And we have, of course, the fantastic special guest, Shabail, as well as Tara Howley, who's an incredible Irish musician. So it was a very collaborative experience in studio. So yeah, in some ways, yes, but in other ways, no.
Okay, that's fair. So there's the new album just out, and there's the big tour coming up next month. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can talk about it, but if you can, What's next for Celtic Woman?
That is soon to be announced. I feel so bad. I feel like I've had a number of people ask me, like, what's next? And I'm like, my hands are tied until the plug is pulled and the announcement is made. I can't say anymore.
Oh, that's fine. I totally get it. That's why I asked it that way. With your history, with so much in theater, which is so much different than what you're doing now, do you miss that at all?
It's funny. I was only talking about this with a friend of mine recently. You know, as someone who is in pursuit of a career in musical theater or the theater in general, it's relentless. And I feel like you get this tunnel vision and this sense of focus of like, this is the thing that I'm pursuing. And then, you know, you try and mold yourself to fit into the role that, you know, to try and fit the part that they might hire you for and that kind of a thing. And it can be exhausting because you're trying to, you almost have no idea what it is people are looking for. And you're trying to fit that mold in some sense. And then for me, when my career took this slightly left turn where I suddenly was kind of able to be myself, but within a performance context, I was kind of like, oh, this is very freeing and very creatively rewarding. And that's not to say that I would never want to do anything in the musical theater or theater setting. Of course I would. And I think it's something that I would love to revisit. But right now for me, I think it's like I'm on a path of like self-discovery. And like, it's if you had asked me when I was in my early 20s, if I thought that that was something I would end up at, I probably wouldn't have said yes. Mainly because I don't think I knew myself very well for a long time. And I think, you know, I'm 31 now as well. So I think it's probably that classic thing of like, I'm just being me now, that kind of thing. But it really is, I do think that I have been, since I came into Celtic Woman, I have been really finding my own voice and my own personality in some ways within the creative context. So yeah, I'm still, you know, I'm chipping away at that. And if an opportunity came up within the musical theatre world, of course I would jump at it. But I'm extremely fulfilled, I think, where I am right now creatively anyway.
Okay, this next question is not trying to cause any trouble, but I know that lots of former members of Celtic Woman have done their own things, released solo singles, solo albums. Is that on your radar at all?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. In the last, you know, year or so, I've been writing my own music and working with different producers and things like that. So that's something that I'm really excited about, and definitely is something, had you asked me, you know, 5 years ago, if I saw myself there, I'd be like, nope, I don't do that. I don't write my own things. But it's really and truly been so liberating and has like unlocked a box in my brain, which I was like, oh, I never even knew that was there. So yeah, for sure. And I think Irish music is at a really exciting time right now. And the resurgence of, you know, a lot of traditional Irish music and the Irish language and everything like that. And so I think we're at a really exciting crossroads, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of it, both with Celtic Woman and with my own creations. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting time.
It is. I looked at your schedule. I'm down in Florida. I'm not sure how good your American geography is.
Yeah.
I think it's at least a 10-hour drive to the closest that you're going to come. Time around, so I'm probably not gonna make it.
I always take for granted how small Ireland is. I'm like, you can get to one end of the country from the other in like 6 hours.
Well, I was really excited when I saw that, oh, they're doing a big Christmas tour. That's gonna be amazing. And I'm sure it is gonna be amazing. Mm-hmm. And if I can get to, where was it? I still have it open here. Yeah. Let me see. I think it was Atlanta. Atlanta or Charleston, South Carolina are the closest. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, You might need to make a weekend out of it.
Yeah. Well, I have family near Atlanta, so I could pretend that I'm going to see them.
We love Atlanta, and the concert hall and the orchestra there are absolutely magical. So it's a beautiful way to finish off the tour as well. So
Now, I had seen an interview with you when I was researching how to say your name, where you talked about the time that you do have off, which isn't much when you're on this kind of tour. Do you already have plans for those days, wherever you're going to be, or do you just sort of roll with whatever's going to happen?
To be honest, with the best will in the world, often grand plans end up being a day in bed or just a bit of quiet time. But it really is something that I really do try my best to kind of get out and about, even just to kind of mark where you're at in the tour, and to kind of, because you do have memorable moments, and oftentimes myself and the girls would be kind of, we'd be like, oh, do you remember we got that really good coffee in on this corner? And then you're kind of like, oh my God, yeah, that was incredible. So it is nice to kind of bookmark the cities. So we do our best, but don't make any promises.
Right. Well, I'm sure that you've got to be, I want to say exhausted, but it's got to be tiring. And there's also, when you have that time, there's also travel time. You got to get from one place to the next. So there probably isn't a whole lot of time to be a tourist.
No, not a whole lot. And for me as well, the one thing that kind of kills me is lack of sleep, like vocally in particular. So if I can usually battle, like if I'm a little bit sick or anything like that or whatever, but if my voice is tired, that's when I will struggle. And when we get on the bus after a show and we travel, we will go to our bunks on the bus, but then we will transfer into a hotel kind of in the middle of the night. So you're kind of getting broken sleep every night, which can be tough. Can be tough. I love the travel aspect of it. I really do. And I love the buzz of kind of waking up somewhere new every day and every day being different. But it's the sleep. And I'm like an Olympic sleeper as well. So like for me, if I'm going to bed and I'm like, oh, I'm getting anything less than 8 hours, I'm like, what's the point? I may as well stay up.
So do you have any big Christmas plans for when this tour is over and you get to go home?
Not particularly. It's funny. I often find this tour actually I love so much, and it's really reinvigorated my view of Christmas, because I have often found Christmas a tricky time. And I think just I find the lead up to it quite stressful, and the expectation and the a lot of the kind of pageantry and the money side things around it. I just find, I don't know, morally as well, I think I sometimes find, not to sound like a Grinch, but anyway, but this tour has really kind of brought it back to kind of what Christmas is about. And it's about, like just even sharing that sense of connection with people. I'm like, oh, this is what it's supposed to be. So we arrive back on Christmas Eve, which suits me down to the ground, because I arrive in just when everyone's in peak form and you're kind of like, hey, I'm back. But it's usually a pretty quiet week. My brother is living in Berlin in Germany, so he will be home for Christmas, so we always have a really great time together and just spending it with family and friends, catching up. I like to go away in January. Myself and a few friends in recent years have gone skiing in Europe. So if we can make that happen, I would love it. But I know that as I'm getting older, I'm more prone to injury. So I'm like, I don't know if I should be avoiding it a little bit more. But I love it so much. So I would love to make it work if I can.
Is there anything about the new album or the tour that I haven't asked you that you wished I would have?
The new album and the tour, I think you pretty much covered so much of it. As I said, we had an incredible time in studio, myself, you two brand new members, Katrina Sherlock and Kieran Iverku, who alongside special guest Shabale and Tara Howley, who's going to be on the road with us as well, all feature on the album. So it's just going to be a fantastic time. I can't stress that enough. And there's something particularly special about the Symphony Tour. It is my personal favorite, just getting to experience, no no show is going to be the same as the last, because first of all, we're with a new orchestra every single day. And just the beauty of live theatre, whether things go right or whether they go wrong, it's always different every night. So you get to kind of experience it in the moment. So yeah, we're just really looking forward to celebrating it all with everyone, and hopefully people connect to this new album.
Well, one of the things I like to tell artists is that when I listen to the new album, I believe you. You know, when you're singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, I believe it. And I say that because I do get lots of Christmas music sent to me. And a lot of times it sounds like something that got thrown together at the last minute. Like the people who were involved don't care that much, and they did it. They knew that they covered the song. Maybe it's Jingle Bell Rock is the one I like to pick on, because that's just one of the more popular ones. And it just, it doesn't sound, there's no there. But I listened to this. Silver Bells is one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Yeah. Oh, it's that one is magic as well. Actually, I think that would have been my close second favorite of the album as well.
Yeah, it's just, it's so beautiful. And I listen to that and I go, you know what? They mean it. They mean it.
Thank you so much. I do. That is one thing that I will say, and credit where credit's due to Brian and the creative team with Celtic Woman, is that I think at the heart of everything they do, there is a real sincerity to the music and how the music is arranged and delivered. So I think that is kind of at the heart of Celtic Woman and has been for the last 20 years. So I'm really glad to hear that that comes across.
Yes, it certainly does. And for anybody who's listening, who listens to the Sounds of Christmas station, you will certainly be hearing, you may already have heard, songs from the new album out everywhere. Nullig is the name of the album. Did I get it right again?
You did.
Oh my gosh, I should go buy a lottery ticket.
The dramatic pause after every time you say it.
Yes. Well, I'm very aware that I'm not familiar with some of these words, and I don't want to get it wrong, and I don't want to make you sorry that you came on this podcast.
No, you're doing a fantastic job, I promise you.
Well, thank you so much. What's the best way for people to keep up with Celtic Woman? Is it the website, social media?
All of the above. Website, CelticWoman.com. You can follow us on Instagram. We are on TikTok. And Spotify, all streaming platforms as well. YouTube. So anywhere you get your music, we are there. Ready and waiting.
Well, I will put some links down in the show notes to the website and the tour schedule, and also a link to grab the album for anybody that doesn't have it yet. And hopefully I'll be able to get up to Atlanta to see you, but if not, next time.
I hope so.
I hope so too. You're so delightful. Thank you so much for coming on and talking about the new album and the tour and everything else.
A pleasure, Ken. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you so much for listening and helping us share some Christmas spirit, and for continuing to support the Sounds of Christmas station and podcast. I already told you how to listen to the station, and you're listening to the podcast now, so my work here is just about done. All of our episodes are available on the Sounds of Christmas website. Just click the podcast tab. And we also have a Linktree page that lists most, if not all, of the sites that stream the Sounds of Christmas podcast. I'll put a link to that down in the show notes, and you can click on that, find your favorite, then click on over, and then subscribe, and you'll never miss another episode. If you have comments or suggestions on this episode, previous episodes, or the Sounds of Christmas station, feel free to reach out to me on social media or through the website. And if you're listening to this message on your phone, you can also click the send us a text message link and connect that way. Thanks again, and may you always believe in Santa Claus.